There's been a lot of development happening with Kernza. You know, it was brought into the United States back in the 30s as kind of a soil erosion tool and a grazing forage crop. And then in the 80s, it was identified by the Rodale Institute as one of the 100 crops that was had potential to be domesticated for a human food crop. And then in the early 2000s, it was adopted by the Land Institute as a crop that they were going to move forward with and develop into one of their main staple crop, perennial crops that they're working on. And so what we're really trying to do is get a crop on the land that's not continually degrading the land. Every time you till, you are consistently breaking up those soil aggregates and those things that are holding the nutrients in the soil. And when you do that, then you lose those nutrients through erosion, weather, wind, and we know the wind from the last few days, and then water erosion. And what we're really trying to do is preserve our ability to grow crops in the future.
So when I think about this, I think of like two or three different angles from this. One, obviously, just taking care of our land and taking care of and doing things in a way that I'm going to call it natural. You know, I mean, a lot of hybrid stuff out there now, and it's great for us. But you're looking at it because that's really the mission of the Land Institute, to be sustainable and to do things in a way that is great for society, but also great for the land. But you also have the business side of it. So you've got these producers out here that have been doing it one way for a very long time. And now you're coming to them with something that is really, I mean, it's moving the ball quite a bit. How do you approach that with them?
Well, I think all Kansas farmers are concerned about the conservation of their land, sure, the health of their land, and what they can do to preserve that for future generations. And this is one way of doing that through implementing perennial agriculture. The thing that's really important in this kind of new grain crop is, yes, a lot of farmers will adopt this. I don't see a problem with that. What we need to develop is the markets on the other end, so that farmers can be confident that when they do adopt this soil-saving, planet-friendly crop, that they'll be able to have a place to sell it. And by having a place to incorporate it into menus, into food products, et cetera, then they can have confidence to keep planting it on their land and putting it in their crop rotations.
Now you got my ear. Okay, now, can I eat it? Right. Is it a forage crop? Is it something I can make pizza with? I'm all ears, James.
You know, you can do just about anything you want with it. It's so versatile.
If you can do it with wheat, you can do it with Kernza.
You can literally do just about anything. I was talking to someone; they were making a simple syrup out of the grain for mixed drinks. But you know, it kind of really got its fame from being incorporated into some beers. So we've got several restaurants, several breweries that are incorporating Kernza into all kinds of different products, from beer to pancakes to a crust on a really tasty dish over at Yaya's. So really good stuff.
So, I mean, you kind of hit on something there. Most people, you get to them through their stomach, and with some of us, you get to through our beer. I mean, you introduced it that way, man. That's a great taste. What else can I get with this? When we say they're hoping that there's a market for this out there, is the only thing really standing in the way a stigma, as opposed to, I mean, markets are not going to go, oh, this just tastes horrible, we can't have this. I mean, I don't see that as the issue. How do we get this to a market and they go, yes, we can use this? Is it the cost? Is it just perception? What is it that you think you have to jump over?
You know, it has a couple things. In relation to wheat, sure, it doesn't produce quite the yield that wheat does. It's about a third of the yield at this time, but that's what the research is sure. doing. We're trying to improve the yield. But
and that would come in time. I suspect that'll come in time.
Yeah, and you can see over the last decade or so the substantial increases, nearly 75% to 100% increase in seed size over these last 10 to 20 years. But I think what you get with this crop is you're paying farmers to conserve their land. You're paying for them to implement soil saving practices and getting a delicious tasting crop in return.
Is it logical to say that there's cost savings as well? If it's a perennial crop, I'm not having to buy new seed every year. I'm not having to make that investment. So, okay, it's a lower yield, but I have lower expenses, so the money can work itself out.
Right, right. And so you're reducing your seed cost, which also there is a fund through the NRCS that through CSP that can help pay for that seed cost. But the main cost is reducing fuel usage, your inputs. So you're not going over that field to till it. You plant it once, and then it's there for 2, 3, 4 years, and you're still getting some sort of crop, whether it's grain or hay off of it. So you're really saving a lot in your inputs.
Well, you just said something there that I'm interested in, and that is perennial in nature. You planted 1 year. How many years can you get a yield out of that crop before you have to look to replant?
Well, if you're looking at it primarily as a grain crop, we're talking 3 years. That's kind of your economic viability. But when I think about it, I think about it in kind of a dual use setting. So both as a grain and a forage crop. So how can we do this so we can extend that time where we're not tilling the land? We're keeping a perennial on the land for even up to a decade. Mm-hmm. So thinking about rotations where maybe we're intercropping it, putting it with another species like a legume, and extending that life of the crop on the land. You know, maybe it's not a grain crop for its entire lifespan, but it can be useful on the farm, both as a commodity and as a forage.
Yeah, and you need that. Most farmers need that. They've got livestock. They've got more things that they're working with besides just that. It's a fascinating thing. But if I'm interested in, I mean, for us, for Jeff and I, for most consumers, it's the taste. What's this going to be like, and what can I? Are there places right now where I can go and say they got my product?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, we have, I believe, 5 restaurants here in town, and then we have about 20 restaurants across the state that are all incorporating Kernza into their menus.
Oh,
so
wow.
Here in town, you can go right downstairs to Ad Astra and get some delicious no-bake cookies made with Kernza, and then you can
wait
till 9 o'clock.
You can make your way down the street. Barolo's is going to have a beef stroganoff. Yaya's is going to have a tuna, Kernza encrusted tuna.
Yeah.
Eventually, Blue Sky will have a beer on tap. They're just a little bit behind, but they're going to have it on tap coming in May. And let's see. And of course, Martinelli's. Martinelli's is doing kind of a whole grain.
You're telling me my pasta can be this?
Well, it can. We've seen some really good pasta. In fact, Sustain-A-Grain has pasta ready to go, egg noodle that's delicious.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this is the wrong thing to be talking about. I didn't have breakfast, man. Yeah, I'm fascinated by this, and I'm fascinated by the science behind this. So you started with a product that you see is native to Eastern Europe?
It'd be Eastern Europe, Western Asia, kind of Turkey, Kazakhstan area.
And so, how long have we had it here?
Almost 100 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a proven crop. We know it does it. We know it works. And you were with the Land Institute. My understanding is you kind of got out on your own. Now you got your ranch. You're doing your thing. Is this going to be it? This is what's going to put you in Forbes 500, right? Right?
Well, let's hope.
I mean, really, these are the kind of things that, you know, we sit here and talk about. That we make joke about it, but everything starts somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could be a century from now going, this is the crop that feeds America. I mean, and that would be the things you get out of that is better climate, better land use, because that's huge in a state like Kansas. You know, where when you turn it over every single year, you are, you know, tearing up the land, and whether you're a farmer who cares about the sustainability of land for land's sake or economics, that makes this important. I like the idea of rotating it in with another crop, rotating it between growing and using it for food and growing it for foliage. That way it gets a little bit longer use out of it and sustains the land a little bit better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Man, I don't even know where to go with this. Go. I just think we need to get this moving today.
We do. So you've got some examples, and we're on radio, James, so help us out here. But it's all about the roots. Goodness, that thing's a yard
never
long.
I've never seen
that. Is that how deep the root structure
root
is?
On yeah, a way, wheat so, with that.
So,
if you pulled that out by the root, you'd be pulling for a day or
you'd
so.
You'd be pulling for a while. That's right.
Well, that is incredible.
Well, you know, you take a look at the plant. And
that one season of growth?
This is about two seasons.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay. So you take a look at the plant, and the above ground plant itself is about, you know, 3-4 feet tall. Well, 2/3 of the plant is below ground in root biomass, and that is what's holding your soil in place and sequestering carbon and really pulling the excess nitrogen out of the soil and incorporating it into its growth. So it's impressive.
It's impressive. It is.
Yeah.
So, and do you harvest this with a combine? Just like roll over and how do you harvest?
Yeah. Harvesting with a combine is exactly how we do it, just like you would wheat.
And you know, I always think of the economics of situations. You got a lot of wheat producers out there, or wheat seed producers out there, who are going, well, wait a minute, my livelihood is to sell seed and to create new hybrids. This is not necessarily replacing all of that. It can be in conjunction with that. So you're not talking about eliminating a certain crop. You're talking about being smart about it.
Absolutely. And one of the really nice things about Kernza is that it allows farmers to make a little bit extra. You know, we talk about what we pay farmers, and when I think about farmers, I also think about most farmers having to have second jobs to even support themselves. So are we even paying our farmers enough to do what they do already with the wheat? And there's an opportunity here with the Kernza to get paid more. We're looking right now for regenerative organic Kernza being sold at $4 a pound. And now that's with certification being organic and mm-hmm. following a lot of different practices that are planet-friendly practices. But $4 a pound compared to $4 a bushel for wheat is pretty good deal.
No doubt.
That's a good return.
No doubt.
All right. And the only thing I did, back to the roots.
Yeah.
So if you do turn it into if you rotate another crop into this, I'm imagining what those roots have done to that soil. Obviously, they keep it together. But when you put a new crop in there, is your soil going to be ready to go even better amended than it was when you started?
You're going to have a lot more carbon in the soil. You are going to have to consider that you do have a plant that is taking nutrients, and when you have a grass, you don't necessarily want to go back in with a grass because those are kind of excess accessing some of the same nutrients.
Right.
So you might want to go back in with a legume or something that will replace some of those nutrients, okay, like nitrogen.
Makes sense.
I think the one thing we didn't touch on that I'm interested in, because it is Kansas, how thirsty is this crop? I mean, how water dependent compared to a regular wheat crop?
Well, I mean, I think all our crops are pretty water.
I know it's a silly question, you know? but you know, does it handle semi-drought conditions pretty well?
Yeah, you know, the best thing about this is, you know, if we've already got it established in the ground and we hit a drought year, it's gonna stay alive in the field,
which is something you're hoping for. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And maybe you'll have a lower yield that year, but come the next year, you're ready to go. It's going to take up all the water it needs from hopefully that fresh rain that's coming in.
Does it require more water than a regular wheat crop because of the size of the root system?
I would say it's similar.
Similar?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you're really not talking about things that this is not going to shock a producer when they do this. And so far, I know you've been out here promoting this. So producers that have been working their land for decades, multi-generational, what have they said?
About this,
about
in particular,
I'm ready to give this a shot, or you got to prove it to me, or how?
Well, I think it's really important to just look at the land and look at your own land and see how it's changed over time, and you can see out on a lot of different landscapes that soil is continually eroding, and you're starting to get down into some of those lower levels, lower layers of soil, and this is a potential solution to stop that. You know, keep the soil in place so that we can continue to produce our you know, we're the breadbasket
right,
of the world.
Right.
So
absolutely,
we want to continue to produce these crops that are going to feed the rest of the country.
And it's a way to do it without having to do it chemically. This
right.
is a natural way to do it. I mean, it makes sense.
And the beauty of it is that it doesn't require really much herbicide. Because of the root system, it kind of strangles out the rest of the weeds. And so that's a really nice.
Then I want that in my yard.
I know.
For crying
me
out
too.
Loud.
I'm all for it.
Let's make it a yard crop, man.
Exactly.
No doubt. This is fascinating.
Yep. Food Exploration Kearns. There's an event coming up. You mentioned Friday. Is there a concert, something going on that
yeah.
you want to talk about?
Yeah, so we're partnering with the Stiefel. The Stiefel has graciously agreed that if you are participating in Kearns for Kansas and you make a purchase with of the Kernza or a dish or what have you, if you take a picture of that and then show it at the box office Friday night, you'll be able to get into the Mountain Goat concert for free.